Let us sing to God's glory in Psalm number 92. We sing verses 1 to 4. To render thanks unto the Lord, it is a comely thing. Psalm 92. Now let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we have already been reminded by the psalmist to render thanks unto the Lord. It is a comely thing. And to thy name, O thou most high, due praise aloud to sing. May we this morning raise our voices in the spirit of that psalm and not simply sing the words, but enter into the heartfelt devotion that the psalmist had when he penned those words out of his own experience and reminding these things for generations to come, that we too might share with him in this act of worship to the living, holy God of heaven, the God who hears, the God who appreciates the cries and indeed the songs of his people, the God who is interested in us, whether we are worshippers or whether we are simply worldlings. We read in the scriptures of how God delights in the prayer of the upright, and he has given us those psalms and songs to sing, to make melody to the Lord in our hearts. And so this morning, once again, we are conscious, O God, that not only are we to raise our voices in song, but that the Lord has put into our very mouths words to sing, inspired, infallible, accurate words, which if we sing these words, we will never go wrong and we will never be led astray into heresy or into any false doctrine. So this morning, once again, Heavenly Father, as we come on the Lord's Day, among the Lord's people to the Lord's throne of grace, we do so conscious that these days of opportunity are given to us to remind us that this world is not the only world. This world is not even the most important world. We are reminded in the scriptures that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. May we eat upon that word and be nourished in the good things of the gospel, which is the brightest news in a darkened world, this gospel which is the hope of a world that in itself is hopeless, this gospel which is all about Jesus Christ, telling us of how God's Son came into the world in order to deal with the problems of the world, the people of the world, in order to live a sinless life, learning obedience by the things that he suffered, learning what obedience would cost him, and being obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. This, the supreme act of obedience, O God, the supreme act and experience of his sufferings for us. Christ suffered for us, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. This is the message clear and repeatedly emphasized in the scriptures. This is the message of the prophets, the message of the apostles. This is the message of the gospel that is to be preached in all the world before the end comes. And we know, O Lord, that sometimes we preach this gospel hardly knowing what it is that we are saying, hardly understanding the magnitude of our own experience of the gospel, hardly understanding the consequences of the preaching of the word, we see so little fruit. We look for signs, we look for evidences, we look always for growth, and sometimes we see very little, and yet we read the scriptures and are given the assurance, Lord, that God's word will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish that to which he has sent it. And may we, as we gather around that word now, may we remember that it is not a dead letter, but the living voice of the God who is alive, who is speaking to us, the word of God, not simply written, but the word of God coming to us even today from the mouth of God. Every word coming from the mouth of God. Heavenly Father, we tend to think of these great statements as belonging to the past, and that somehow God has ceased to speak to us. But we know from the scriptures that God never stops speaking, and he is in these last days speaking to us by his Son. And in the days of his flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ spoke many wonderful things and did many wonderful things. And in the day of his resurrected glory, he continues to speak and to teach, and he continues to do and to carry on the work that he began, the continuity of his earthly ministry and his heavenly ministry is clearly recorded for us in the scriptures. And so we come this morning to the throne of grace through the name and through the merits of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was tempted in all points like as we are, yet remaining without sin. He is able to sympathize with us because he has experienced the sorrows and the sadnesses of life in this world, and he knows what it is to live by faith in an unbelieving and in a rejecting world. And he knows what it is that his people go through because he has gone there before us. Heavenly Father, help us then to worship in the name of Jesus Christ, to look up to heaven and to give thanks to God for so great a gift, so great salvation, at so great a cost, not to us, but to God. This great salvation, great beyond our understanding, great in its extensiveness, great in its heights and depths and breadths, great in the cost, great in the prospects, great in the promises contained in the gospel, the heavenly hope, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us then this morning as we gather around this message once again, and to take it in, and to take it in to our very daily living, to take it in to our innermost heart, to take it in such a manner that it will illuminate us, that it will dominate us, that it will be the guiding light of our daily life, that it will be our hope in death, that it will be our courage in dark days, that it will be that love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit given to us. We are conscious, O God, of our constant need, our constant failures, our constant tendency to backslide, to be a stiff-necked people. As Israel was of old, so we are today, stiff-necked, tending to be dull of hearing, imagining that we have made great attainments, imagining that we are, as it were, mature saints, and all the time the scripture is reminding us that we are the little children. Help us then, we pray, to face the facts, to face reality, to face God's word as it speaks to our innermost hearts concerning our deepest needs and our deepest longings and our highest hopes. Look upon us now, O God, as we try again to raise our voices in praise to the God of heaven, who is worthy of all praise, more praise than we can ever give, more praise than we can ever imagine. We seek mercy and grace to this end for ourselves, our loved ones, for the church, and indeed for the world, O God. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to read in the first letter of John, in 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to be reading the whole of this chapter. 1 John chapter 3, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso has this world's good, and sees his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of, or his compassions, his innermost feelings of compassion, from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us a commandment. And he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us, by the Spirit which he has given us. And so on. Now the notices are few and simple. Our afternoon service, of course, at 4:30 this afternoon in the Mechanics School of Art, 280 Pitt Street, in the Henry Carmichael Theatre. And then our Wednesday meeting, again in the Mechanics School of Art, Pitt Street, and this coming Wednesday will be the annual congregational meeting, so it will take a slightly different form to our usual midweek meeting. We welcome visitors, of course, who are listening in to these recorded broadcasts, and we welcome you to hear with us and join with us in the Word of God. And again, I'm sure you are making arrangements with your offering during these unusual times through which we're passing. Well, these are the intimations, and we're going to sing now in Psalm 92 and verses 5 to 11. In Psalm number 92 and from verse 5 to verse 11, we sing to God's glory. How great, Lord, are thy works, each thought of thine, a deep it is. Psalm 92, verses 5 to 11.
Amen.